ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 2, Text 11. Vibhushitam Mekhalaya Anguliyakai Mahadanai Nupura Kankana Adibi Snigdaha Amala Akunchita Nila Kuntalai Purochamana Amana Hasa Peshalam. Vibhushitam Mekhala Yangliyakair Vibhushitam Mekhala Yangliyakair Mahadana Nupura Kankanadibi Mahadanar Nupura Kankanadibi Stigdamala Kunchita Nila Kundalair Vidochamanana Hasapeshalam Virochamananahasapeshalam Vibhushitam Mekhala Yanguliyakair Mahadanar Nupura Kankanadibi Snigdamala Kunchita Nila Kuntalair Virochamanana Hasapeshalam Vibhushitam Mekhala Yanguliyakair Mahadanar Nupura Kankanadibi Snigdamala Kunchitali Lakuntalair Virochamananahasapeshalam. Please chant. Any other triers, challengers? Go ahead. Vibhushitam Mekhala Yanguliyakair. Mahadanar Nupura Kankadibi. Snigdamala Kunchita Nila Kuntalair Virujamananahasapeshalam. Vibhushitam mekala yanguli yakair. Mahadanar nupara kankanadibi. Snigdhamala kunchita nila kuntalair. Virochama nananakhasa peshalam. Ladies, please. Namekala yangulayakaya. Mehadanhar nupara kankanadibi. Snigdhamala kunchita nila kuntalar. Virochamananahasa peshalam. Vibhushitam mekala yanguli yakair. Mahadanar nupura kanakanadibi. Sigdamala kunchita nila kuntalair. Viruchamananahasa peshalam. Vibhushitam mekala yanguli yakair. Mahadanar nupura kankanadibi. Snigdamala kunchita nila kuntalair. Virochamananahasa peshalam. Anyone else? Vibhushitam mekala yanguli lakair. Vibhushitam, well decorated, mekhalaya, with an ornamental wreath about the waist, anguliyakai, by finger rings, mahadanai, all highly valuable, nupura, ringing leglets. Does everybody know what a leglet is? If you don't, raise your hand. You know? Everybody knows? Okay. Okay. You don't know. Okay. Could you please tell him what a leglet is? No, not isn't it. Is it? What is it? Well, it's like, yes, that's it. And usually ankle bells are often attached to this. Okay, thank you. Kankana adibi, also by bangles. Okay, I know all the ladies know this. What is a bangle? Come on, raise your hand. Nobody knows what a bangle is? Okay, a bangle is an ornament that often ladies wear around the wrist. And so some of today's ladies may even have them on. It's an ornament or adornment, okay? That's the name of it. Snigda, slick, umala, spotless, akunchita, curling, nila, bluish, Kuntalai, hair. Viruchamana, very pleasing. Anana, face. Hasa, smile. Peshalam, beautiful. Who is being talked about now? Huh? Yes, but what is Paramatma? For those who don't know the meaning of Paramatma. Yes, the Lord in the heart. And which Lord is that? Come on, loud. Lord Vishnu is the Lord in the heart. Okay? And I want to mention, as long as I'm mentioning Lord Vishnu, I was told today is Shivaratri, and it will be celebrated on Sunday. And I've been blessed to give the talk on that, and I hope everyone will attend it, not because I'm giving the talk, but it's a beautiful festival. Translation. He, meaning Lord Vishnu, is well decorated with an ornamental wreath about his waist and rings studded with valuable jewels on his fingers. His leglets, his bangles, his oiled hair, curling with a bluish tint, and his beautiful smiling face are all very pleasing. Purport. Sorry. Time out. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the most beautiful person amongst all others. And Srila Shukadeva Goswami describes every part of his transcendental beauty, one after another, in order to teach the impersonalist that the personality of Godhead is not an imagination by the devotee for facility of worship, but is the Supreme Person in fact and figure. The impersonal feature of the Absolute Truth is but his radiation. We all know what the impersonal feature is, don't we? Somebody volunteer to tell us, what is the impersonal figure? What is its name, or what do we call it? Go ahead. I can't hear you, Prabhu. Loud. Everybody has to hear you. Go ahead. Yes. And that light is also referred to as the paravyoma, or the spiritual sky. Okay? Thank you. The impersonal feature of the Absolute Truth is but his radiation, as the sun rays are but radiations from the sun. So that gives us a fairly clear idea of what this impersonal feature of the Brahma Jyoti is. So we see here that Shukadeva Goswami is describing Lord Vishnu, which is the Lord in the heart, in a very delightful and a very beautiful and a very uplifting way. This is in contrast to the description of the universal form, or the Virat Rupa. And actually, everyone cannot easily worship Lord Vishnu. Those who don't believe that God can be in a form, or that God is a form, they cannot. And that's because they're too much impressed with or indoctrinated with the idea that they're God. So why should I worship him when I'm God? Everybody should be worshiping me. This is the mentality which causes them to not be able to worship the Lord. That is the cause also of a person not being able to go back home, back to Godhead, to the spiritual world. And such persons generally go to the Brahma Jyoti. Those persons who think they are liberated in this life, but who are devoid of devotional service, are of impure mentality. Although they accept severe austerities and penances and rise to the spiritual position, they fall down again. Because they neglect to worship his lotus feet. Why do they neglect it? Why should I worship someone else other than myself? So it's very convenient to not want to worship someone else when you think you're the Lord. And that's one of the reasons we all come from originally the spiritual world and come to this world, so that we can in some way, some manner, some fashion manifest ourselves as the Supreme Lord, or if not the Supreme Lord, certainly a Lord of many others. We may be a Lord in the form of a politician who makes laws and causes people to abide by those laws. And if they don't abide by those laws, then they can be possibly arrested or sued or whatever. So, when you become a legislator, you control the actions of others. That's a form of lordship. And many people like that. So when a person comes to this world, he may in different forms, different ways, become a lord, try to become a lord. Yes. So going on to the purport, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the most beautiful person amongst all others, and Srila Sukadeva Goswami describes every part of his transcendental beauty, one after another, in order to teach the impersonalists, as I said before, that the personality of Godhead is not an imagination by the devotee for facility of worship. So this is very important. Generally speaking, as Sukadeva Goswami has already described and taught, that the universal form, which we have been learning about for the last few weeks, is basically the material world. And it's viewed in terms of a form, such as the clouds being the hair of God, the mountains being the bones of the Lord, the sun being one of the eyes of the Lord, the moon being one of the other eyes of the Lord, and so on, so that this is very easy for a person who's of an impersonalist nature, who is of a non-believing nature, who's of a very skeptical nature, to at least piece together these forms which I can see. One of the biggest problems in impersonalists, that it's difficult for them to believe that an actual person can be God and have all the powers of God, all of the eight, actually it's more than eight, but many of the eight mystic powers of the Lord, having the six opulences of the Lord, such as being most beautiful, wealthy, strong, famous, learned, and renounced. These are the qualities of what we call opulences of God. Other opulences, that he is free from all material desires. He cannot be affected by anything in this material world, but rather affects the material world because of his super power. So, therefore, God has many, also he has innumerable virtues, and many of us have some of those virtues, but not all of those virtues. So God is very special, very amazing, very opulent. And it is not easy to simply emulate or even duplicate, because they are so far extreme and advanced. So generally people, they don't believe that that could be in a human being. We see human beings with power, but limited power. You see baseball players, you know, hitting lots of home runs. We see basketball players. We see many other people of a famous nature. We see movie stars. We see singers. We see dancers. All of these famous people. And they all have different abilities. And all of those abilities are created, they're created, really given by the Lord. The Lord is the source of all ability. He says that in the Bhagavad Gita. I am the source of the ability in man. So, therefore, it is very important for all of us to remember that whatever powers we are manifesting, whatever virtues we have, whatever glories we have, whatever we are being celebrated for, the source of this is the Lord. Lord Krishna is the source of all beings. So, Krishna being the source of all beings, why should we take credit for all these manifestations of power or glory or beauty? Who do they belong to in essence? Sorry. In essence, Krishna himself, in conjunction with or in reply to our prayers, we may pray to become very beautiful, pray to have a son or a daughter. We may pray to have a very lucrative business. We may pray to be a winner at whatever we're challenging. And all of these prayers are often answered by the Supreme Lord, because he has the power to award them. Sometimes a person says, well, I'll pray for that. Well, sometimes a person prays for year after year after year, but never gets it, because he doesn't really have any faith that he will get it. So, therefore, that happens. And then there are persons who pray for something, and in a few minutes, they receive it. So, prayer has a lot to do, as far as being answered, it has a lot to do with the sincerity, the seriousness, the devotion, and the dedication of each and every person. And Krishna sees all of this and gives according to what he thinks should be given. He doesn't grant all of these. So it's mentioned here by Srila Prabhupada that Shukdeva Goswami is describing every part of the transcendental beauty, one after another, in order to teach the impersonalists that the personality of Godhead is not an imagination. Now, generally, an impersonalist will stoop to that foolish understanding that all I have to say, I mean, God cannot be in any human being. That's their first contention. And the second is, if he can't be in any human being, then I'll just imagine him. And as long as I imagine him, that's as good as just what we see when we go to the temple. That's just somebody's imagination. That's their unfortunate contention, because they do not have any experience of the Supreme Being manifested in and through the deity form that we see on the altar. So what Srila Prabhupada is just mentioning is that it is not an imagination. You can't just imagine any form of a dog. Okay, I will worship the dog, or I will worship a cow, or I will worship this or that, and I will get my desire fulfilled. You may get your desire fulfilled by the ultimate and true and real Lord who lives in the heart of every human being, but that does not mean that is the Lord. The dog is not the Lord. So a person begins to think that if he gets what he wants, he gains what he wishes, that, yeah, I'm going to worship the dog. You can worship the cat. You worship a bird. You worship a fish. So the person is thinking he can do whatever he wants. But Srila Prabhupada is mentioning very clearly here that God is not an imagination by the devotee for facility of worship, but is the Supreme Person in fact and figure. And that Supreme Person manifests himself at different times, at different climes, and with different names. Krishna came approximately 5,000 years ago. People could see him. People could talk with him. Little boys could wrestle with him. Of course, as a result of some of these very familiar actions, many people could hardly believe that this person, who looks like a human being, talks like a human being, acts like a human being, runs like a human being, fights like a human being, how can he be God? He even gets beat up by his little boyfriends. And when he gets beat up, yes, they're playing duel with the sticks, you know, and you get the stick, it hits the heart, but then you have to carry the winner who gets a stick on your heart. So there is little Krishna you know, looking very sad. It's all a put-on, of course. And he's looking sad that he has to carry somebody. Oh, it's so heavy. He carried Govardhan Hill for 7 days on his little left finger, but he didn't complain a moment. But here he is with his little boyfriends. He is, oh, this is terrible. I'm not going to lose a game again. This is the last time. You know, he's thinking like that. So they're having a lot of fun, like little boys normally do. And the little kids who are the playmates of Krishna, it says, well, Krishna says, you got me that time, but not the next time. Be prepared. This is the kind of fun that goes on. And these little boys are not ordinary little boys. They all come from the spiritual world, and they are the eternal associates of Krishna. And being the associates of Krishna, they are extremely advanced in Krishna consciousness, but not by study, by automatic understanding as a result of their position in the spiritual world, which means they are eternal servants of Krishna. And with that servitorship comes the knowledge of Krishna. But when they play, they don't think of scripture. When they play, they just have fun. And they have all different games that they play. You know, blind man's bluff. one of them, they play tag. You know, they run after one another. They have swimming races. All these kind of things. These are ordinary things. But Krishna then, fortunately, disappoints some of them. When they have just begun to think, Krishna is just like us, then Bakasura comes along, big beak, and he gobbles up Krishna, and there's no Krishna anymore. He's swallowed Krishna. And then all the kids are lamenting and crying. Of course, he's just like us. He got swallowed. We'll get swallowed. And they're lamenting and crying and sorrowing. And then what happens is Krishna manifests his burning a propensity or ability, and he burns the throat of Bakasura, which is like a big stork. And his throat is burned, and the result of that is that he throws up Krishna, throws him out. And then when Krishna is now on the ground, and all the little boys says, oh, thank God. He doesn't know that he's God. He said, thank God our Krishna has been saved. Oh, thank you. And then Krishna doesn't stop at that. He begins to show those little boys, at least temporarily, that he is the Supreme Lord. So what happens is that Bakasura grabs him with his two beaks and lifts him up. And as soon as he does that, Krishna grabs each of the beaks and he tears them apart, and that Bakasura is screaming, ah, you know, and finally what happens is that he kills him on the spot. A little boy, maybe 5-6 years old, and all the boys are saying, Krishna, we didn't know you were that strong. Where did you get that strength? And no sooner do they say that and think that and feel that, Krishna again pulls the wool of their eyes to make them think he's just one of them. This is his yoga maya potency. Yoga, maya means illusion. But the illusion which helps the little children to appreciate, enjoy, and relate to Krishna in their own terms. So this is very wonderful. This is an earning. It's not something that you just get. Prabhupada states very clearly that for millions of years, these boys were praying, were bowing down, were begging the Lord for more and more devotional love. And they got that devotional love. And they got it in the form of being playboys. Not the other kind of playboys, but they got in the form of being playboys with Krishna. What could be more favorable than to be able to be wrestling on the ground with Krishna in a playful manner? To even look at Krishna is so divine, so glorifiable. You see the Lord and he's radiating of all this bliss that he, through the love that he sends out. So therefore, to even get an ornament that the Lord has touched, or to go to Vrindavan and to touch the dust there. Many devotees, when they go to Vrindavan, as soon as they get into the area where Vrindavan starts, they often tell the cab driver, please stop here for a moment. So they get out of the cab and they throw themselves forward on the ground and they roll in the dust, feeling and understanding and realizing that Krishna walked on that dust at one time. And how holy, how glorifiable, how honorable, how gracious that Krishna left his dust there. And we can then partake of it. We can bathe in it. We can worship it. We can honor it and become better and higher and more devoted to Krishna. These are the things that he left, along with other things such as the Srimad Bhagavatam, which we are reading, and the Hare Krishna mantra, and so many things which enable us to draw closer and closer to the Lord. That is the earmark of our advancement, that we feel closeness, we feel nearness, we feel dearness. Dearness in the form of his transcendental bliss, which comes to us from the heart, because that's where Krishna, that's his place. It's his place. So, from that place, he expresses or he exudes his transcendental bliss right into the soul. And being right in the soul, what happens is that each and every one of us who has sincerely and deeply and dedicatedly been worshiping and glorifying and serving the Lord with all our heart and soul, this is our reward. And it is the greatest of reward because it incites us to commit or to do more devotional service for the loving loving pleasure of Krishna. And when a devotee is experiencing that, he knows he's with Krishna at that moment, because the ecstasy, the joy, the bliss, the happiness is so intense as opposed to what he normally might have. This is Krishna's loving gift. This is his way of saying thank you. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. The reward is himself, and when he gives himself, he gives us the ability, he gives us the power, he gives us the devotion, the dedication to serve more. Because it is in loving service that we continue to grow and grow and grow in love and more love and more love of Krishna. Not what we necessarily get from the service. Sometimes we get from the service some adoration. We get some profit. We get some distinction. We get glorification. That's not the goal, and that's not the real gift. That's, you might say, a byproduct or an extra that Krishna gives. But we have to be very, very careful when we receive those kinds of gifts. When we receive a gift such as the power to do something that perhaps no one else can do, like, for example, invent a computer, or a car that flies in the air, or something that's unusual, or invent a submarine that can not only come up to the water, but can fly out of the water into the... I'm trying to give an example of unusual things that are created and which are manifested. And all that comes from whom? It comes from Krishna. He is the source of our imagination, the source of our mentality, the source of our thoughtfulness, our kindness, our goodness. All those things relate back to Krishna. So we as devotees may ask ourselves, well, okay, so Krishna is the source. Then what? No, not then what. Our feeling should be, if we're gaining something from that, even material, and not only material, but something lovable and desirable, we have to be thanking Krishna. And when people are honoring us, glorifying us, applauding us, we have to be inwardly, mentally, thanking Krishna. not absorbing all that honor, distinction, and glorification, and thinking, yes, I am wonderful, I am great, I am glorifiable, all this belongs to me, and yes, I am superior to you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and don't even try to touch me, and if you want to speak with me, go see my secretary. It's this kind of a condescending mentality that is breathed from the devotee who does not give that claim, does not give that attribute of what he is just manifesting, as Krishna says, as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. They don't reward themselves. They can't reward themselves because I am the source of all, of everything, of all ability, of all power, of everything. So, therefore, a person who thinks he can do it on his own is in very big trouble. Because Krishna can give and he can take away. For example, right in our own movement, there have been many devotees who did some excellent, incredible work, especially in the areas of book distribution. And they became very puffed up, they became very proud. They were cheered in the newsletters, their names were there. And so, what happened, instead of saying in their minds, this belongs to you, Krishna, they're putting my name in, but I will put mentally your name in because it really belongs to you. And therefore, he is cleared of the possibility of being proud, of being self-loving, of being vain, of being condescending. He's free of that because he doesn't believe he did it. He believes that it's done by Krishna. And he knows that. And he has the experience that when he gives that away, Krishna blesses him with more bliss, more happiness, more peace. Because that's what's supposed to be done. And such a person, as we have seen in Srila Prabhupada, he never takes it to himself. He always says, this is the result of Krishna's mercy. And that's the way we have to be thinking. Mercy. This temple is Krishna's mercy, and it came through Srila Prabhupada. This altar is Krishna's mercy. These deities are Krishna's mercy. And Prabhupada himself says, this could not happen if I did not get the blessings of my spiritual master. Because through my spiritual master, I was able to attract Krishna. And through that Krishna attraction, I received the abilities that Krishna has and he gave to me, and I was enabled. He considered himself like a puppet in Krishna's hands. Make me dance, make me dance, make me dance, he would say. Always giving the credit to the Lord. That beautiful prayer that Srila Prabhupada wrote on the Jaladutta when he docked into Boston. It's so beautiful. I've recited it at a number of our festivals. Because throughout, basically, Srila Prabhupada is saying, without you, I could do nothing. By your mercy, I can do so much. Without your mercy, I am zero. Zero. And I have nothing really to give except what you allow, permit, enable, and arrange for me to do. And therefore, I have you to thank. So this is what this talk that I'm giving is for all of us. Everyone here has some talent, has some ability, has some greatness. And when someone or some many begin to applaud us, congratulate us, glorify us, to not keep that poison in the heart, we should be thinking, this belongs to you, Krishna. This is yours, not mine. And because it's yours, I am so happy to tell the truth that it is yours and I could not have done it without your mercy. And when Krishna hears that, he will give you more and more and more ability and power and virtues and all the things that make for wonderful, true living when we understand the source of all this wonderful living. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Does anyone have any questions or any comments on the talk that I've just given? Keep it limited to this talk. Please don't begin to ask questions about shouldn't the GBC not allow gays to come in? Don't get into that. We don't want that road. Just if you have any question or comment upon anything I've said, if it gives you doubt, if it gives you uncertainty, if it gives you questioning, please feel free to ask. And I don't promise I'll answer, but I'll do the very best I can. And if some of you here can help me and do better, I welcome that. Yes, Prabhu. You have to speak good and loud, maybe come a little closer, because as you get older, you start to lose some of your hearing. Yes, go ahead. He is beautiful. Yeah, without. He can even wear just a plain old little gumsha, and we'll still glorify him and love him. But he wants to give the best impression on the eyes of the persons who see him. Because when we see something beautiful, something adorable, something lovable, something huggable, okay? Like you have a daughter, she's beautiful, and you hug her and give her this confidence and this wonderful feeling of affection and inspiration from you. So similarly, Krishna, when he puts these on, it makes him, ultimately, he makes the ornaments, the adornments beautiful by his radiation, by his blissfulness, by his lovefulness. And that's the reality. But people are seeing all of this, and it appears to them to give him even more cachet, more respect, more honor. So if a person can look the best that he can, like some devotees, they come in, I know, on Sunday. Normally they just come in shorts and T-shirt. But on Sunday they wear the special clothes, beautiful saris and beautiful dhotis and things like that. Why? Because they want to show themselves to Krishna as beautiful, as lovable as possible. Not so that they will get loved more. That's not the idea. But that Krishna should see something more beautiful than the ordinary. When Srimati Radharani approaches Krishna, she's got the most gorgeous sari. She got the most beautiful hairdo, although she covers it up with her part of her sari. She has ornaments all over. She got a nose ring here, which attaches to her ear. She's absolutely splendorous. And when Krishna looks at her, it's like a wow experience. Wow. Okay. So that's why, to increase the pleasure of his devotees. And when the devotees have more pleasure, what do they want to do? Give him more pleasure. He's giving them, you want to give him. And that's the whole idea of loving exchange. You give me something, I give you something. And we have those six symptoms in our nectar of instruction. Giving prasadam, which we have already and we'll get when we go out, and accepting prasadam. Revealing one's mind and confidence, like the Catholics have the confession. Revealing your mind and confidence and inquiring confidentially. And also giving gifts and accepting gifts. Why that? It makes for loving exchange, and it is loving exchange which brings higher and greater and deeper ecstasy in that relationship. Okay? Any other question or any other comments or anything like that? No? Okay. Thank you. Have a wonderful, great, enjoyable breakfast. And thank you for listening and tolerating. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada Ki. Light, by the way, because we don't have to struggle. Yeah. It just goes right on and you're done. Yeah, yeah. Beautiful. Thank you so much. And thank you. It's great. People don't, you know, you're doing this a great service. If you didn't do what you do, people would come in the morning, it'd be a big mess. Really. But,
No, it's a fact. Somebody's got to do it. And to me, and what you tell me, the highest work was the most menial, and you know that. That's why you do it. Smart. I try to emulate your activity. Not always succeeding, though. Exactly.